goodness gracious, Bills are on fire.
What's up, Bills Mafia? It's Joe Marino from the Draft Network, and I am your host of Locked On Bills. Happy Friday to you. It's the last time we're going to talk until the Bills play the Cincinnati Bengals at home on Sunday, and it's time for me to give you my leftover thoughts and predictions for this coming game. I will do my best here. This cold is definitely coming. It's here. And I don't know how long I'll be able to go today, but I have some things I got to get out. So we'll do the best we can. First things first, I do want to say a thank you. There's a lot of people that have taken the time over the last week or so to leave a review and a rating on iTunes. And I'm greatly appreciative of you taking the time to do that. If you haven't, you can still do it. You can go to iTunes. You can leave a 5-star rating, leave a few sentences about the podcast, what you like. And it's great to give me feedback, but also to give new listeners an idea of what they're getting into here on the Locked On Bills podcast. And it's been really encouraging to read so many positive reviews about the style of podcast we do here and the type of football discussion we have on the Locked On Bills podcast. And I'm glad you're enjoying it. It's been an awesome couple weeks here to start the season and, of course, a really fun ride since I started doing this thing in January. The other thing, if you want to continue this discussion, I'm pretty active and willing to interact with people on Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter at TheJoeMarino. So hit me with a follow and ask questions. Let's talk ball. Anything you want to get into. I'm usually pretty responsive on there. So hit me up. Let's continue the discussion on social media. Also, the podcast can be followed on social media at Locked On Bills. First thing I want to talk about today is Josh Allen and some of his numbers. You know, I do this thing when we preview the other games, right, where I tell you all about the opposing quarterback that the Bills are going to face. And we've done it for Sam Darnold and Eli Manning and Andy Dalton. Well, how about some stuff about Josh Allen? And so I did a deep dive on some of his numbers that are not just the raw data, but the type of advanced statistics that tell a story here. And I want to get into some of those here on the podcast. But first, let's do talk about some of the raw data, the normal numbers that we always talk about. So far through two games, again, a pretty small sample size, but still an eighth of the season. Josh Allen is completing 64.2% of his passes, a number that many people did not think was achievable for Josh Allen. Let's see if that continues. 507 passing yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, and a passer rating of 84.6. He's on pace for 4,056 passing yards. Be the first time in a long time, maybe ever, that a Bills quarterback has passed for 4,000 yards. Let's see if he keeps this pace. He's on pace for 472 rushing yards, which is a bit less than maybe what some people thought would happen this year. So those numbers are trending quite differently than maybe people thought. How about these? Let's talk about under pressure Josh Allen. In 2019, with no pressure, Josh Allen has 46 pass attempts. He's completed 69.6% of those, 80.3 rating, and 7.5 yards per attempt. In 2019, with pressure, he's had 27 attempts, 52.4 completion percentage, and a 93.9 rating, 7.8 yards per attempt. Josh Allen is delivering the football in the face of pressure pretty good, especially when you compare those numbers to what they were in 2018. 2018, no pressure, 207 attempts, 66.2 completion percentage, 79.8 rating, 6.9 yards per attempt. So all of those numbers are much better already in 2019 compared to no pressure. But here's really where you see a jump. Look at this 2018 with pressure, 172 attempts. His completion percentage last year under pressure, 28.3. I repeat, 28.3. That is now at 52.4, a huge jump there. Huge. That tells a story to me. That says that Josh Allen, things are really actually slowing down for him because pressure is pressure. I don't care who the opponent is. He's been able to deliver the football much better this year under pressure, again, through an eighth of the season, than he did last year. His passer rating last year with pressure, 47.4 and a 5.8 yards per attempt. A lot of growth right there. In very significant categories of quarterbacking, completion percentage, rating, those numbers with pressure and without pressure. Very interesting. I think my favorite statistic, this isn't necessarily a Josh Allen statistic, but an overall Bills statistic. They have 6 touchdown drives in 2 games of 70 yards or more. That's really outstanding. I mean, Josh Allen is keeping things on schedule. The offense is moving. They're sustaining drives, and they're finding ways to score. 100% right now, touchdown scoring percentage in the red zone. 6 drives of 70 yards or more. That is outstanding. That is a sign of growth from Josh Allen and the offense as a whole. Here's some other stuff that I really liked. His adjusted completion percentage is 82.8. That's 7th best in the NFL. What is adjusted completion percentage? Well, it's just like factoring in regular completion percentage, but it takes away drops, balls that are thrown away, like intentionally throw the ball away, batted passes, spikes, and balls that were attempted while the quarterback was being hit. So it's regular completion percentage, but takes away the attempts that are dropped, thrown away, batted at the line of scrimmage, spikes, or hit as the quarterback is thrown. Josh Allen, 7th in the NFL, 82.8%. This is one that I liked as well. Josh Allen currently leads the league, ready for this, in throwaways. How about that? 7 throwaways through 2 games. He only had 23 throwaways all of last season. That's a sign of growth, right? The guy's not forcing the football or trying to play hero ball. Not like he did last year. Leads the league right now in throwaways, is on pace to shatter his 23 throwaways from last season. Again, another sign of maturity, growth, living to play another down, not putting his team in bad situations. Very good. How about this one? The Bills have a drop percentage. So 7.5% of Josh Allen's attempts are dropped. That's 9th in the NFL. That's a disappointing number. That number needs to come down a bit. Josh Allen deserves for his passes to be caught when they're thrown to receivers that can catch them. So looking for that number to improve. That's 9th in the NFL. You don't want to be 9th. You want to be the 20s, 30. How about this one? We're talking about deep passing. Passes thrown 20-plus yards down the field. 11.9% of Josh Allen's passes so far in 2019 are aimed 20-plus yards down the field. That is 18th in the NFL. You know where he was last year? Number one, the most. 19.7% of his passes aimed more than 20 yards down the field. This is a quarterback that is being much more consistent, challenging all areas of the field, not just the deep stuff, short, intermediate routes as well. That's what we talked about all offseason long, is Josh Allen being a more consistent quarterback in terms of the areas of the field that he's willing to challenge. We've seen it so far through 2 games. I got one more for you here. 12.5% of Josh Allen's throws are on play action. That's a very low number, especially for Josh. This is something he did a lot last year. In 2018, he was 25.5% of his passing attempts came on play action. That was 13th in the NFL. Right now, he's 30th. The Bills are featuring the fewest amount of play action passes almost in the entire NFL. Bottom 2. I mean, that's pretty crazy. You'd think that the Bills would be a play action heavy team with Josh Allen's skill set. They really haven't been. First week of the season, no play action pass attempts. And then obviously it grew a bit last week against the Giants. So it's interesting because play action is one of those types of plays that, generally speaking, is very successful in the NFL. And not happening so far for the Bills. I'm not saying they're not successful when they run it. They're just not running it that often. I mean, almost dead last. Interesting. Kind of surprising, given the skill set of Josh Allen. So I thought that was kind of cool to take a look at some of those numbers. I think they tell a story. They're interesting to me. I hope you found them interesting as well. At the end of a hard week, it's great to sit down, take some time off, watch some football. Game-winning touchdowns and 2-minute drives. Running backs racing down the sidelines with no one to stop them. There's nothing else like the NFL, and there's no better way to make the games even more interesting than to bet on them. So do the smart thing. Go to mybookie.ag. No one gives you more ways to win than they do. MyBookie's got the fastest payouts and better lines than any sportsbook out there. Don't forget, where you're betting is just as important as who you're betting on, and mybookie.ag is the best in the business. It's where I play. It's where you should too. I wouldn't be telling you guys to bet with them if they weren't the best. Do the smart thing. If you're going to bet football this season, bet with MyBookie. If you're the kind of guy that likes to bet a little and win a lot, try a parlay. If all your picks come through, you'll multiply your winnings. And no matter how you bet, the NFL season is the best time of the year. Join now. MyBookie will double your first deposit. Use promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. That's promo code LOCKEDON. Visit MyBookie today. It's MyBookie.ag. You play, you win, you get paid. I want to talk about these injuries here right after this. Welcome back. There's some interesting stuff to talk about here with these injuries for both teams going into this week. For the Bengals side of things, on their Thursday practice report, again, I always say this, the one that really matters is the one on Friday. But we can learn a lot based on what we can see on Thursday. They had a lot of significant players not practice on Thursday. Let's go through the rundown here. Ryan Glasgow, their number three defensive tackle, out with a thigh. Their starting offensive lineman, Cody Glenn, you guys know him, out with a concussion. AJ Green, out with an ankle. Michael Jordan, their starting guard, out with a knee. Carl Lawson, their best pass rusher, in my opinion, out with a hamstring. B.W. Webb, their starting slot corner, out with a forearm. And Kerry Wynn, a reserve defensive end, out with a concussion. Andre Smith, their projected starting left tackle, was limited in practice with a groin. So, I mean, there's a lot of important names there for them. Well, really, I mean, significant players. And so a lot of those guys just not participating on a Thursday is not necessarily a good omen for their availability on Sunday. And they're built, the Bengals are going to need those guys. Those are important players for their football team. From the Bills side of things, Andre Roberts was limited with a quad. Maybe there's a chance we see him this week. Trey White, limited with the neck. He's had the red non-contact jersey on this week. Nobody seems overly concerned about it, so I'm not going to lose any sleep, but it's worth noting that he's been limited 2 days in a row with a neck injury. The two significant ones, though, Devin Singletary hasn't practiced all week with a hamstring injury. And so what does that mean, right? It means I'm guessing he's not going to play. And maybe there's no reason to play him this week. You probably want to keep him healthy for the New England Patriots next week, and the Frank Gore, TJ Yeldon show can happen against the Bengals. And Frank Gore is certainly healthy, ready to carry the load. We've seen him. He looks good this year. But we haven't seen TJ Yeldon in the regular season. And so I think we're going to see some TJ Yeldon this week. He's not touched the ball. He's been on the field a little bit, but he hasn't touched the football on a catch or a run. That's going to change, obviously, if Devin Singletary can't go. And I think it's going to be okay. TJ Yeldon's a player that has played a lot of football in the NFL. He's carried the football a lot. He's caught it a lot. He's a veteran know-how guy. He's the ideal RB3. And so I still think it's going to be the Frank Gore show primarily, but those 5 to 10 touches that Devin Singletary potentially was going to get, you give them to TJ Yeldon, and I think the Bills will be just fine. I don't think Devin Singletary's availability is a major shot to the Bills' chances of winning this football game. Now, here's the one that I guess kind of sucks, is Tyler Kroft. He was full practice on Wednesday for the first time since May, right? He broke his foot in 2018 in week 5, and then the Bills signed him 3 years, $18.75 million in March. And then on the first day of OTAs, this dude breaks the same foot again. Hasn't practiced all offseason, training camp, missed the preseason. He missed the first two regular season games. He's a full go in practice on Wednesday. We're starting to think we're going to get the tight end back. He's going to have his revenge game against his former team, and he injures his ankle and didn't finish practice. Seems like the vibe that you got from the locker room, from the coaches' comments and stuff, was not good in terms of him coming back. And it's disappointing, right? Because the Bills gutted this tight end position, right? Charles Clay, big-time factor in the tight end room in recent years, he's now on the Cardinals. Logan Thomas, big-time guy in the tight end room, he's gone, he's on the Lions. They bring in all these new pieces for the tight end room. They draft Dawson Knox, Tommy Sweeney, sign Lee Smith to be the blocking specialist, and then, of course, kind of, I guess, the signature marquee move was to bring in Tyler Kroft on that 3-year deal to give the Bills kind of a guy that has some know-how, some size, versatile blocker, could be a security blanket, has enough size to really challenge the seam and present some matchup problems. And you feel like you got at least an NFL caliber tight end, right? You can get by with him. Not the best tight end in the league, maybe not even a top 20 tight end, but a serviceable tight end. Well, it's looking less and less likely that he's going to be available any point soon, right? And so it continues to be the Smith, Knox, and Sweeney show. And what have they caught? They've caught five balls, I think five passes for 62 yards so far in two games. That's what the Bills have gotten out of their tight ends. And here's the deal, right? Like, I don't think there's any mistake about it. The weakest tight end, the weakest position on the Bills roster is tight end. And I guess if you're going to pick a position to be your weakest, you might pick tight end. But the reality is, this could be a need. I think it's very important for Buffalo to get a really good grasp on what kind of player Dawson Knox can be. He's going to need reps, and we've seen some positives. He's made good catches. He's blocked well. He's had some really impressive blocks out in space and in line. I'm still pissed at him for dropping that pass in the third quarter. I'm going to keep mentioning that. But here's the deal, right? The Bills need to find out what they have of him. They traded up to get him in the third round. He's a day two pick. They gave up assets to go get him. Can he be the starter? Can he be the long-term answer? Can the Bills have a good tight end room that features those three guys, Knox, Sweeney, and Smith? And I think, like, I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves because there's a whole season to play. We'll get to the offseason when the offseason's there. But I think it's an important evaluation time for the Bills to get a good feel for what type of player Dawson Knox can be. Because I don't know how trustworthy Tyler Croft's going to be. This guy feels like he's a walking injury. And the Bills have an opportunity to get out of his deal. I know it's 3 years, $18.75 million, but the Bills can release him after this season and save $5 million off the cap. He's a $6.6 million cap hit. He's $1.6 million in dead cap. So you save $5 million in cap space by getting rid of Tyler Croft. I don't know if they're going to want to do that. The Bills have plenty of cap space. It's not like they're going to be hurting for money. They may want to keep him around and see if they can bring him back, and he can be the player they wanted him to be from the outset. But I don't know. This guy doesn't seem like he's very available, right? And what is that saying? Your best ability is your availability. And right now, Tyler Croft has not proven to be very available here in his recent years of his career. So there's the rant on Tyler Croft and the tight end situation. I've got predictions for you coming up here in just a minute. But before we get there, let's talk about sex. Good sex. Remember the days when you were always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance to get that extra confidence in bed. Listen up, BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. Now, this just isn't for guys who can't perform. It's for any guy who wants extra function to enhance their performance in the bedroom. Blue Chew is prescribed online. It's shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor's visits, no waiting in the pharmacy. Best of all, no more awkwardness. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, I've got a deal for you. Visit BlueChew.com. Get that first shipment for free when you use our special promo code LOCKEDON. Just pay $5 for shipping. Again, BlueChew.com, promo code LOCKEDON to try it for free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring the podcast. I've got predictions for you coming up right after this. All right, welcome back here. It's time to get into those predictions that I promised to you. I think my throat's hanging out here. We're getting through this podcast. Sorry if it's nasally or breathy or anything like that today. I'm doing the best I can here on this podcast. All right, so what are my predictions? I've got five of them for you, like I will try to give to you every week. And I hope that they're a little bit bold, right? I don't want to give you like softballs, right? So here they are. All right, number one, Ed Oliver or Darryl Johnson, one of the Bills' two rookie defensive linemen, get their first NFL sack on Sunday. I think there's going to be a lot of opportunity to win 1v1 where the Bills have better players on their defensive line than Cincinnati has on its offensive line. Whether it's Billy Price or Michael Jordan or Bobby Hart at right tackle, the Bills are going to have a player that Ed Oliver / Darryl Johnson should be able to handle 1v1 and get home for a sack. Love to predict that they both get one, but I would guess that one of the two gets home this Sunday and gets their first sack in the NFL. Let's hope it's Ed Oliver, right? I know he's chomping at the bit. I listened to him on one Bills Live. This is a guy that wants to really make some plays. So I think it happens for him this Sunday. My next one for you here, number two, Cole Beasley has at least 7 receptions in this football game. I think This sets up very favorable for him to be productive this week. B.W. Webb is their slot corner. He's not even their preferred slot corner. Darkeese Dennard would be that player. He's not going to play. B.W. Webb hasn't practiced all week. They could be down to, you know, the bottom of the barrel when it comes to their slot situation. And the Bills have a really good slot receiver in Cole Beasley. And also, this Bengals pass rush, I think, is pretty good. Geno Atkins, Carlos Dunlap, Sam Hubbard, Carl Lawson, if he can go. They've got some guys that can create some pressure. And Josh Allen's going to need to get the ball out quick, and those timing routes with Cole Beasley will matter. If he gets ISO'd on either one of those linebackers, Preston Brown or Nick Vigil, it's going to be game over. So I think Josh Allen should be looking for Cole Beasley this week. Give me 7 receptions minimum for Cole Beasley on Sunday afternoon. Here's the next one. I think that the Bills will have at least 3 batted passes by defensive linemen at the line of scrimmage. Well, the Bills have been really good at that to begin with this season. They've led the league in that. I think they led the league last year. So through 2 weeks this year and all of last season, the Bills are the best in the business at doing this. And here's the flip side of that. Andy Dalton has the most passes so far this season batted at the line of scrimmage with 5. And what that comes down to is some of the stuff I talked about yesterday. There's a lot of manufactured throws here for Andy Dalton and this Bengals offense. It's a lot of getting the ball out of his hands, scheming up throws, and the Bills are very astute at getting their hands in throwing lanes. And if you're going to try to deliver a football through the B-gap, Ed Oliver's going to put his hand up and deflect it. And I think that this is going to be a good opportunity for the Bills and a real challenge for the Bengals. So give me the Bills 3 more batted passes by defensive linemen at the line of scrimmage on Sunday against Andy Dalton. My number four prediction for you is 100 rushing yards for the Bills without factoring in Josh Allen's rushing total. So that could be Frank Gore and TJ Yeldon. If they get a reverse or something with Isaiah McKenzie, we'll see. But I think that the Bills will get 100 rushing yards from players not named Josh Allen. So I think the Bills have a good day running the football. I don't think the range that Preston Brown and Nick Vigil have is very good. And I think the Bills can really stress that. Get these offensive linemen pulling out in space like has been successful so far this season. And see if you can hit some big explosive runs and chip away at this defense. I think that's a real opportunity this week for the Bills. So my first four, before I give you my game prediction, Ed Oliver or Darryl Johnson gets a sack. Cole Beasley has at least 7 receptions. The Bills deflect 3 passes at the line of scrimmage, so 3 more batted balls for the Bills' defensive line. 100 rushing yards for the team without factoring in Josh Allen's rushing total. And finally, will the Bills win the football game? Will the 2-0 Buffalo Bills win their home opener against the 0-2 Cincinnati Bengals? Give it to me. Yes, I think this is a game the Bills should win. They're favored by, I think, more than 5 points. And I don't think it's going to be a walk in the park. I am almost never going to talk about walks in the park because I have a lot of respect for every NFL football team and what they can do and the players they have and the coaches. And the reason they have these jobs is because they're outstanding at what they do. But I think the Bills are a better football team. They're at home. They have momentum. And it's going to be a crazy atmosphere. If you're going to the game, be loud. Be passionate. Be respectful. Don't be an asshole. But have a lot of fun and cheer on the Bills and help them bring home this W. I think it will happen. I think the Bills are the better team, and I think that their strengths match up pretty good in terms of to where I think the advantages are for them to exploit this Bengals team. I talked about that a ton. I gave you a lot of specifics on that on the Thursday show. Very comprehensive preview for this game, so go back and listen to that if you didn't. One other thing about the Bills, if they win this game, there's 2 things that everyone's going to say afterwards. First of all, they haven't beaten anybody. Well, they played the teams on their schedule. It's the NFL. They you don't schedule games. This isn't Ohio State beating up on Miami of Ohio and some directional Michigan school, right? This is the NFL. You don't pick your opponents. It's just they happen, right? So get out of here with your they haven't beaten anybody. That's not their fault. But how they've won is what matters, right? They beat the Jets with a come-from-behind victory. They overcame four turnovers, down by 16 in the second half, and won the football game. And then they took care of business with a two-touchdown win over the Giants. So they won in ways that suggest good things. I don't know how they beat the Bengals yet. I'm not sure, but we'll talk about that on Monday. So don't give me this, the Bills beat three teams that haven't won a game. There's a good chance that on Sunday, if the Bills are 3-0, that all three of the teams they beat will be 0-3, and you're going to hear about that all week. All right? Just take it for what it is, and the Bills get to play the Patriots in week four. The other thing is that you're going to hear a lot is that the Bills are 3-0. And the last time the Bills were 3-0 was in 2011 under Chan Gailey. And guess what they finished? 6-10. There's not one player that was on the team in 2011. There's not one coach, player, or, I mean, even different front office people. There's nothing relatable about the 2011 Bills to the 2019 Bills. So as much as that is relevant to talk about in terms of understanding what this team has done to the fans, right, in terms of having hot starts and really not finishing well, I think there's a lesson to be learned there. But there's no correlation you can draw between the two. There's no relationship between the 2011 Bills and the 2019 Bills. So if the Bills get to 3-0, enjoy it, and we'll talk all about the Patriots next week on the podcast. Thanks so much for listening. Go Bills. I'll talk to you again on Monday.